When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Valakas case, when the Ouija board opened a door. The darkness gathers, and with it, the whispers. I'm Raven Vale, and this is Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we journey to a modern European city, a place of vibrant streets, rich history, and a bustling everyday rhythm. We are heading to Madrid, Spain, specifically the working-class neighborhood of Vallecas in 1991. Here, in a seemingly ordinary apartment building, a haunting so profound, so utterly terrifying, and so meticulously documented by official authorities, would unfold, challenging the very foundations of scientific skepticism and thrusting one family into a living nightmare that began with a simple board game. Our story centers on Estefania Gutierrez Lázaro, a bright, energetic 15-year-old girl. Estefania was a typical teenager, living with her parents, Maximiliano and Concepcion, and her six siblings in their modest yet comfortable apartment on Calle Luis Marin. Like many teenagers, she possessed a natural curiosity about the unknown, a fascination with the mysterious and the macabre. This curiosity would tragically lead her to experiment with something that many warn should never be trifled with, a Ouija board. It was in early 1991 that Estefania, along with a group of friends, reportedly experimented with a Ouija board. Accounts vary whether this took place at school or at a social center, but the intention was clear. They were attempting to contact the spirit of a deceased friend's boyfriend. The session, intended as a harmless diversion, quickly turned unsettling. Witnesses claimed that during the séance, the board abruptly broke apart, or perhaps even caught fire, as a strange, ominous smoke or vapor emanated from it. In that terrifying moment, something seemed to awaken, and from that day forward, Estefania's life became a living hell. Almost immediately after the Ouija board incident, Estefania's health began to deteriorate rapidly and inexplicably. She started suffering from terrifying seizures, often falling into violent convulsions without warning. These were accompanied by horrifying hallucinations. She claimed to see grotesque, shadowy figures lurking in her room, terrifying entities with distorted faces. She would describe being tormented by unseen presences, hear disembodied voices whispering threats and curses, and often lapse into periods of intense paranoia and erratic behavior. Her personality began to shift. She would sometimes speak in guttural growls or bark like a dog, utterly unlike her normal self. Her distraught parents sought every possible medical explanation. Estefania was taken to numerous doctors and specialists across Madrid. She underwent countless tests, scans, and examinations. Yet, physicians were utterly baffled. There was no medical diagnosis for her terrifying symptoms, no neurological disorder, no psychiatric condition that could fully explain the dramatic physical and mental deterioration she was experiencing. The doctors could offer no treatment, no relief, only a growing sense of frustration and bewilderment. The consensus was that her case was deeply unusual, defying conventional medical understanding. The torment reached its tragic climax on the night of August 14th, 1991. After experiencing another severe, prolonged seizure, Estefania Gutierrez Lázaro suffered an abrupt and inexplicable cardiac arrest.
She died that night, suddenly without warning, leaving her family heartbroken and utterly bewildered by her mysterious illness and swift passing. The cause of death, like her symptoms, remained ambiguous, officially attributed to sudden and unexpected cardiac arrest, a clinical term that offered no real answers for a young girl who had been so violently afflicted. But Estefania's death was not the end of the nightmare for the Gutierrez-Lazaro family. It was merely the terrifying prelude. Within days of her passing, the haunting in their Calle Luis Marin apartment began, intensely and unequivocally. The phenomena started as classic poltergeist activity, doors slamming shut with violent force, seemingly locked from within, furniture moving across rooms as if pushed by unseen hands, objects flying from shelves and cabinets, inexplicable loud bangs and crashes emanating from empty spaces. The haunting quickly escalated beyond mere disruptions. The family experienced increasingly malevolent manifestations. Religious objects, a source of comfort in their Catholic home, became targets. Crucifixes would spontaneously detach from walls, often found upside down or violently rotated. Photographs of Estefania would fall and shatter, sometimes burning from within. The family reported hearing disembodied voices, whispers calling their names, and the terrifying familiar growls that had plagued Estefania before her death. They also experienced chilling, foul smells, often described as sulfurous, or the putrid odor of decay, suddenly appearing and disappearing in rooms. Most horrifyingly, the haunting became physically aggressive. Family members reported being violently shoved, scratched, and slapped by unseen hands. Estefania's sister, Marianela, claimed to have been repeatedly choked by an invisible entity. The oppressive atmosphere in the apartment was constant, a pervasive sense of dread and fear that clung to every corner. The family, desperate and terrified, sought help from priests. But even the blessings and minor exorcisms performed by clergymen seemed to have little effect, often only intensifying the entity's fury. The case of the Gutierrez-Lazaro family might have remained a private, terrifying ordeal, dismissed by skeptics as mass hysteria, had it not been for a pivotal event that lent unprecedented credibility to their claims. On the night of November 27th, 1992, utterly overwhelmed by the relentless activity, Estefania's parents made a desperate call to the police. What transpired next etched the Vallecas case into the annals of paranormal history. Inspector José Pedro Negri of the National Police, a seasoned and pragmatic officer, arrived at the apartment with his unit. They were expecting a domestic dispute, a misunderstanding, perhaps a prank gone wrong. Instead, they walked into an active, chaotic haunting. Inspector Negri and his officers personally witnessed the inexplicable phenomena. They reported hearing loud, unexplainable banging noises coming from empty rooms. They observed a wardrobe door swing open and slam shut with immense force. They documented the sound of what seemed like a heavy closet door being opened and closed repeatedly. Yet no one was near it. They felt the sudden, distinct presence of a strong, inexplicable cold in certain areas of the apartment, a profound drop in temperature without any logical source. One officer reported hearing a loud noise from the balcony, like a sheet being dragged over it, but finding nothing. Another heard a loud noise like a crash coming from the bathroom, but found no broken glass or disturbed objects. Inspector Negri, a man of law and order, was left utterly bewildered. He and his officers after a thorough search of the apartment and interviews with the terrified family, could find no rational explanation for the events they had personally witnessed. His official police report, filed that night, became a landmark document. It explicitly stated that the police had observed unexplainable phenomena and unexplained activity within the apartment that night, making it the only officially recognized police report of a paranormal event in Spanish history. The Vallecas case exploded in the media, becoming a national obsession. The official police report provided undeniable, objective corroboration for a story that would otherwise be dismissed as pure fantasy. Public debate raged. Was it a genuine demonic infestation, a direct consequence of the Ouija board session? Or was it an extreme case of collective delusion, perhaps fueled by grief and trauma, which manifested as perceived paranormal activity? The family, unable to endure the relentless torment, eventually moved out of the apartment, leaving its dark history behind. The apartment, however, remained a site of profound unease, its windows like vacant eyes staring out onto the street. What truly happened in Vallecas, dear listeners? Did the Ouija board, a seemingly innocent toy, indeed open a portal, allowing a malevolent entity to latch onto Estefania and, after her death, torment her family? Was Estefania's rapid decline and sudden death a direct consequence of this attachment, a life drained by an unseen force? The presence of police officers, hardened by the grittiness of urban life, witnessing the inexplicable, lends a chilling credibility to claims that would otherwise be dismissed. It forces us to confront the terrifying reality that some doors, once opened, cannot easily be closed. The chilling legacy of the Vallecas case serves as a stark warning. The tools we use to peek beyond the veil might not just connect us to the dead, but awaken something ancient, something dark that sees our curiosity as an invitation. And when that something decides to enter, it may not just haunt a house, but relentlessly torment a family, its dark presence confirmed by the very authorities who are meant to protect us from the known evils, leaving us to wonder about the evils that exist beyond our comprehension. Until next time, when the whispers grow louder. Good night.